It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, good evening. This is not Bob Siegel. This is Mike Friedenberg filling in for Bob Siegel on The Bob Siegel Show. And once again, as per usual when I do The Bob Siegel Show, it's another slow news week. But, you know, there's so many things to talk about here. But before we even dive into the topics, I do want to, you know, express, you know, what everybody's been expressing, the sadness over the tragedy in D.C. on Wednesday. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But right now, you know, Flight 53042 and Army Flight PAT-2-5 out of Fort Belvoir crashes. Horrendous tragedy. You know, we pray for their family and friends, and our hearts go out to them. But we'll talk a little bit about that later on there. But right now, what I want to talk about is just the first 12, 13 days of something we've never seen before. Our country has never experienced this, you know, the last 12, 13 days since the 20th. This has been crazy. But before diving into that, I do just want to reiterate just the nature of the victory, just really briefly here. I mean, everybody knows he was only the second president to win a non-consecutive term. He won the most votes ever by a Republican candidate. Biden still has the record right now, but I would argue that he has the most ballots counted, not necessarily the most votes from real voters. So Trump just blew away every metric there's out there in terms of how he did relative to 2020. And a lot of people, you know, are talking about this, you know, red expanding its base. But really, the person that really expanded their base and dragged the Republican Party behind him was Donald Trump. He did better than most Republican candidates in most districts. So it really, truly was a Trump phenomenon, and Republicans were dragged along behind Trump. So let's keep that in mind here. In versus how Trump did in 2020, he did better in every single state. He surpassed what he did in 2020 in every single state on the average of 5.6 points. So on average, he did 5.6 better. That's an amazing number. But guess where he did the best, where he grew his vote totals by the greatest amount? New York. That's pretty great. And of course, he won, as we all know, he won every swing state, 312 electoral votes to Harris's 226. But from a county perspective, 9 out of 10 voters that voted in the election resided in counties that shifted toward Trump. So 90% of the people that voted actually voted in counties that shifted to Trump. And then 92.3% of all counties shifted toward Trump. 92.3%. That's amazing. And here in California, which is, you know, as we know, this is hardly the bastion of conservatism, 45 out of 58 counties moved toward Trump here in California. Now, in absolute numbers, Trump won 2,633 counties and Harris won 427. That's as opposed to Hillary Clinton winning 472. So Harris did considerably worse than Clinton, who won 472 in 2016. And she did 85 counties worse than Biden, quote-unquote, won in 2020. So it is a massive victory that allowed Trump to do what he's doing today. Without this kind of victory and this kind of momentum and mandate, what we've been seeing here in the first 12, 13 days, well, I think it would be seeing a little bit different environment if this was not the case with the election. So let's just take a look at some of the things here. I'm going to kind of go through a list here. By the way, the list I'm going through is by no means comprehensive, because if I did go through a comprehensive list, literally, I think I could be here the whole show just listing everything he's done. But I'm just going to, you know, mention a few things. The thing that was, for me, from the heart that I found most encouraging was him following through and pardoning the January 6th political prisoners. I know that there's, even in the Republican parties, there's some disagreements out there about if the pardons were appropriate. From my perspective, they were 100% appropriate. They were political prisoners. And I do want to mention something about this very briefly. When they talk about violence against police officers, I just want you to know that many of those charges talking about violence was simply a protester pushing past a police officer. That is considered an assault. Now, that's quite a bit different than what we saw in the BLM riots, where people were throwing frozen solid water bottles, bricks, firecrackers, tear gas, literally also firebombing and things of that nature. So I just want to make sure that you understand that they were not treated equally. Unequal treatment before the law is not justice. And these folks were treated very unfairly. Solitary confinement. I mean, it was literally like a gulag for some of them. So even the ones who were charged with violence, I'm perfectly fine that they had their, they either were pardoned or had their sentences commuted. Is there a possibility that there's some people that were pardoned or commuted that should not have been? Maybe, but it's a very small number. They already paid their price to society. I'm glad they're done. So that's, I'm going to say that. And I was so happy that President Trump did that. I'm also very happy about the 24 pardons he issued to pro-lifers that had been peaceably praying outside of clinics all throughout the country, and Biden targeted them. This was targeting them, and the 24 went into jail, including an 87-year-old woman who was a survivor of Eastern concentration camps. And this was, once again, they used the FACE Act, a ridiculous act there, which should be overturned. And they should not have been in jail for any length of time, you know, misdemeanors at the most, but not even that. It was basically a targeting where they used the Justice Department to weaponize. Meanwhile, pro-life clinics, pregnancy care centers throughout the country were firebombed. They didn't bring anybody to justice. They just ignored it. So justice equally applied is not justice. So I'm glad they are out too. Now, already within the first 10 days, illegal alien counters at the border are down by 94% relative to the last 12 days of the Biden administration. That's pretty fantastic. 7,200 illegals have been arrested and are in the process of being deported already. We're going to be talking about this in more detail a little later, but the Birthright Citizenship Executive Order, it's already been challenged in court. By the way, let me just say that this is so wonderful that Trump is doing all these things right away, because he knows and his team knows that a lot of these things are going to be challenged in court. You want to get them out into the system as soon as possible so they can start working their way through the courts. That has to be done right off the bat. We don't want to, you know, do this, you know, the third year and then have, if he doesn't win, we don't win in the, you know, that they just drop the suits. We want it to work its way all the courts to the Supreme Court. So that's brilliant. He also has issued numerous orders banning and rooting out the diversity, equity, and inclusion cancer from our country. And I know there's people that are sincere that believe in this, but I've looked at it. Fundamental assumptions that there's systemic racism in this country is just false. And so that's great. It's a cancer. He's taken the first steps. It's going to take more than one administration to get rid of it, because right now our teachers are being trained in it. There's hundreds of thousands of treaters at schools all throughout the country. They're not just going to roll over, but this is the first step. And he's basically can also be holding federal money hostage to, you know, make sure that people do at least do something on the service. So this is great. He signed, and this is a great one, you know, the first act he signed was the Lincoln-Riley Act. And that is, you know, that is something that was long overdue, got bipartisan support. And if Trump had was not out there making this an issue and bringing up victims of this illegal alien criminal crime, I don't think he would have got as much bipartisanship. There is, we got, what, 116 votes from Democrats in the House and 16 or 17 votes from the Senate in the Senate. So basically, it was a bipartisan. That's great news. Treasury Department has just resigned, the head of the Treasury Department. And he did that because Elon Musk was asking to see the books. And he didn't want to do that. He's resigned. Well, I think that's great. I'd love to see these bureaucrats resign because they don't want to be held accountable. And now the new Treasury Secretary just signed in, Bessant, I think, right? I think that's his name. He has opened up the books. They can't change the records, but they can look at the records now just to see what Elon Musk was claiming. We'll see if this is true. He said they did not deny payments to anybody, including known terrorist organizations. So we'll see if that's true. The United States Department of Agriculture Inspector General was fired, but she refused to leave because she said the firing was illegal. Well, she was escorted out of the building by security, and she was a Bush appointee. So that's one thing I wanted to mention here is the deep state, the permanent state. This is a bipartisan thing, not just Democrats, but Republicans are in this. And we saw that with Christopher Wray and other people that Trump was advised to hire that turned out to not to be so awesome. The deep state is, it knows no partisanship. It's bipartisan. Then he signed an executive order, and it's called Ending Radical Indoctrination in K-12 Schooling. It's also about preparing to celebrate the 250th anniversary, which will be done under Donald Trump's watch. So it's going to take on this 1619 stuff. It's basically, it's also getting rid of the transgender stuff also being taught in the schools and a lot of other things. So this is great. 2 million federal employees received emails saying, hey, you can come back to the office or we'll give you the alternative to resign. You've got, and you can get 8 months of benefits and pay. Wonderful thing. If you want to resign, we'd love to have you, you know, do it. but we want you back in the office or resign. When I saw this, I looked at him. I went, is this real? This cannot be real to be. I mean, it's so amazing that he's did something like this. We've never seen anything like this before. Combating anti-Semitism, basically saying, you know, the violent agitators, they're here. They're not citizens. So I know some people are concerned about free speech rights, but these people are not citizens. And a lot of them are engaged in, you know, blocking students, trespassing, promoting violence. And basically, they're going to be kicked out of the country. Students, gone. Their visas revoked and they're gone. Awesome. He basically signed an executive order doing something insanely crazy. He said that there's only men and women. That alone is enough to have me sitting there going, wow, the presidency's worth it for the next 2 months. If he only done that in the first 2 months, I'd be sitting there saying, wow, he did something. Pete Hegseth has been confirmed for Secretary of Defense. He's very good on the DEI stuff. I really hope he's good on the military procurement and the waste and the fraud and the corruption there too. I'm not sure about that, but I hope that he is. But Pete Hegseth is definitely going to be rooting out diversity, equity, inclusion, and going back to building up that warrior culture, meritocracy-based culture that in our country, by the way, one of the organizations that led the way on equality of opportunity and led the way to stamping out racism was our military. And that's a fact. Well, protecting children, this is in the name of the order. Protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation. Come on, folks. We won't let them get an aspirin in the nurse's bed. They're going to let themselves destroy life-altering, to potentially completely destroy their lives when they're still teenagers, when they're going through all sorts of issues and problems that teenagers go through. I personally know a family that dealt with this, an awful situation where a young woman had her breast cut off. That's awful. It's an abomination. Reinstating 8,000 service members that were fired because they refused to take the experimental vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, which still, as far as I'm concerned, has not been truly validated. Yet they're still pushing to do more vaccines on that. Restoring America's fighting force, and this is all about getting rid of sex-based, gender-based quotas, and basically saying it's all going to be meritocracy. Ending the weaponization of the federal government, firing the FBI agents that were involved in these certainly unethical but possibly illegal actions against him and other people. And I will mention, by the way, the weaponization is also extended to attorneys that filed legitimate lawsuits with legitimate constitutional claims, and now they're being persecuted throughout the country with left-wing bar associations trying to disbar them and being successful. They were here, successful in California, in disbarring John Eastman. Ridiculous. The Hyde Amendment has been restored, and so has the Mexico City policy. Those are both having to do with federal funding being used to promote abortion abroad and federal funding being used here in this country and eliminating it. And then looking at what can be done on the FEMA, the disaster response. We do need some disaster response there, but anyway, I would just say here that I could go down this list. Guantanamo Bay, 10,000 troops to the border. But one of the things I'm going to say here is that there's so many things. The one bad thing about it is each one of these things should be savored and enjoyed. But because there's been so many, it's been overwhelmed. We have not had the satisfaction of really enjoying these things. It needed to be done because it actually is making a difference. But it's just amazing. So, I mean, I would just say that I am in overwhelm. When I was researching this, I kept going, oh, yeah, there was that. Oh, that was 3 days ago. I forgot about it because there's been 30 things since then. This is some time we've never seen before. And I said the one downside on it is that we are not maybe going to be able to fully give the level of appreciation for each one of these things done that it deserves. So I will tell you that that's where we're at. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce my guest as we come back on to our next segment here.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Mike Friedenberg filling in for him today, and I am very honored to have as my guest today former State Assemblyman Steve Baldwin from the 77th Assembly District. I've known Steve for probably 30 years now, I think, Steve, ballpark.
I think around that, yeah.
Right around 30 years, and one of the guys I most admire, a person of principle. Not only was he on the State Assembly, but he's an author. His family has deep roots here in San Diego, property management, Baldwin Moore. Author, he's currently still writes, you know, at least a couple articles, American Conservative, the Spectator magazine there. He's in the process of writing a book on how state and local government can resist a tyrannical national government. We've had that put off for years, but when he started writing it, we weren't sure of that.
Yeah.
So, but I still think it's a good manual to have there. Yeah. So, Steve, well, welcome aboard. And, you know, I want to open it up now. We laid a lot of topics on the table, and I know that we're going to talk a little bit later in this segment on birthright citizenship.
Yeah.
But from what you heard out there, you know, anything that you want to bring up that you thought was been particularly interesting
well,
this
last
week?
We're living in exciting times, Mike. There's no doubt about it. We've never seen anything like this. Not even under Ronald Reagan have we seen so many incredible changes. And I think it's exciting. And the question is, how much of this is going to be permanent? Because most of these executive orders can be reversed in one day by a future Democrat president. But I'm looking to see some changes that are more permanent, like, for example, the birthright citizen thing, which we'll get into later. If a court gets involved, the Supreme Court, and rules that we are right on that issue, that's something that's going to be with this country for a long time. And so those are the kinds of the more permanent things that Trump can do. He purposely is provoking the liberals to sue him because he wants the Supreme Court to rule on certain things, like birthright citizen. That's all. That's brilliant. Brilliant strategy. But I do think some of the things he's doing are the liberals are going nuts about. For example, his freeze on $2 trillion in federal spending. They've already tried to put a block on that, and that's already in the courts. But he is reasserting the power of the executive branch, which we've seen gradually become weakened over the last 20, 30, 40 years. A president should have the power over what the executive branch spends money on, should have the power over the kinds of people that he appoints around him to carry out his policies. And the fact that the executive branch, different agencies have gone off and with their own rules, they've made up their own laws, they spend billions and billions regardless if it's Republican or Democrat in the White House, that time has come to an end. And Trump is telling us. He's going
yeah,
to stop.
Interestingly enough, he's in at a time when the Supreme Court just did the Chevron decision, which basically opens it up for Trump to just strip these bureaucracies of their authority.
Yeah.
And back, and it's going to make legislation a lot harder to do because rather than just doing this vague legislation and counting on a largely liberal bureaucracy to do your dirty work,
yeah.
You now have to put it in writing and stand behind the legislation. You know, if you're a legislature, you have to say, I voted for this thing that has this awful provision, rather than saying, well, it was the unelected bureaucracy that did it. So that's, yeah. You know, so I do agree with you that I do think this is going to set the liberals and the left back quite a bit, even because some of these things are going to be so successful, it's going to be harder to completely reverse them. People are overwhelmingly supportive of gaining control over borders. Biden came and he reversed everything. Now, I will still question here. I do think that it's been a little bit uneven because I thought that Biden kept on exerting all sorts of executive privilege that was illegal, but nobody pushed back on it.
Right.
You know, things like, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to give the student loan forgiveness,
yeah,
that things of that nature. But I do think Republicans have been very timid about it because if they exert any presidential authority, they were afraid that the New York Times would write an op-ed that would attack them, and so they would sit there not doing anything. Now, Trump's not that way.
No.
So I did talk about the, I guess, quote-unquote, the negatives of so many great things happening at the same time.
Yeah.
But the positive is there's only so much outrage bandwidth that they have. Each one of these things he's done would be, in a normal time, would be worth weeks and weeks of outrage and stories and screaming and, yeah, you know, doing stories about people impacted. Right now, they can't do it. They've only got so much bandwidth. They can't respond. They cannot respond.
And you touched a little bit on the media. We're seeing a media revolution right now, which is helping the political revolution. And that is the monopoly of the mainstream media is crumbling before our eyes. Not only has Trump created his own social media platform, but he's elevated all these other social media platforms by going on them, like Joe Rogan Show and these other podcasts that have millions of listeners. And he's giving alternative media and podcasts and YouTubers, all these other people, seats, not only at the White House press corps, but the Pentagon press corps. And so he is developing an alternative media universe that we've never seen before.
No, that actually, Steve, that was one of those ones you got to, oh, yeah. That was one of those, oh, yeah, ones for me, because I'm going, yeah, well, how could I forgot that one? But there was 20 other ones I also forgot to mention, or I didn't have time. I mean, yeah. I was hoping to get through those before in the first segment and leave a little time to talk about it, but I wasn't even done with my list after the first segment. And right. I got another 20 here. And one of his executive orders was a super executive order. It overruled 78 Biden admin executive orders. I mean, that's a great executive order right there. And I haven't looked through it, but I'm sure I could go through that one executive order and go, yahoo!
You know, that was mostly immigration related, I think.
Probably.
And we saw the border almost come to a slow stop, practically.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost boring down there in the border right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're a, you know, there was some chagrin from the pro-life community over the way things have changed in the last couple of years and how we deal with the pro-life issue within the party.
Yeah.
And Trump just, I agree with Trump, dealing with the issue that's really a states' rights issue and letting it become part of his campaign, he had to crush that.
Yeah.
And as somebody who is very strongly pro-life, I agreed with that because if he doesn't win, it doesn't help me. I don't need him just, you know, blathering about pro-life stuff and losing votes and taking the focus off of things that he could do something about. But with that said, he's come back in and he's doing exactly what he did in his first administration. He had a supercharged Mexico City policy in his first administration, and he had a supercharged Hyde Amendment in his first ministry. And I expect that's going to be the same here.
And the Dobbs decision is permanent. No matter if Trump did not win or not, it took the power away from the federal government,
yep,
where they were spending billions on abortion worldwide. And now people have to win the hearts and minds of the voters,
yep,
state by state.
And they do. And they, frankly, they have people within the pro-life movement are still figuring out how to do that. But yeah. I think they will. They
I think
will.
So, too.
And I think that's well. And that's where we have to go down there. So, but he's very good in there. I mean, it's just so great. People are resigning. There's the FBI. I watched Cash Patel's hearings, and he was like, 98% of the FBI is great. It's only 2%. Well, I understood he had to say that in the committee to get confirmed.
Yeah.
I personally don't believe that. The people that participated in these, I would call, you know, these raids, armed raids of people that are no threat whatsoever, like Roger Stone.
Absolutely.
That was ridiculous. With M16s kicking to the doors, the dogs, the lights, that was meant to scare. They did that to a pro-life person. There was zero things. So that jackboot thuggery, if you participate in that and you don't raise a ruckus about it, you are complicit. So a lot of FBI agents kept their heads down when they should have been saying something.
They should have spoken out.
They should have spoken out, and I'm not happy about that. But still, they can't obviously go after everybody. But the people that were the political appointments, the people involved in the political prosecutions, they definitely need to go. And this overcharging of January 6th participants.
Oh, these people have been in prison, many without a trial, for almost 4 years.
Yes.
Even the worst case scenario, okay, so-and-so broke a window or a door. I've never heard of anyone in prison for more than 4 years for breaking a window. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Billions of dollars of damage was done in the BLM
And no one, of the few that were arrested, charges dropped, and they were released a day later.
Antifa riots. There was a few $100,000 done at the thing there. And as I said, almost all of these crimes, they keep tarping. The violent criminals. Nope. Most of the people that were charged with assault-related charges were simply pushing by police officers. Now, they should have done that. I wouldn't have done that. I agree.
But a lot of charges were fabricated,
And some of them were fabricated. And in terms of the violence, there's like three videos where you can see out of the – there was probably 800,000 to a million people at that rally initially. And yeah. Trump said to peacefully go down there. People went down there. But then you saw the clouds of smoke hanging over the crowd from the tear gas and the flash bombs. And part of the reasons the Capitol Police had to do it, they didn't have the people to handle something like this. Yeah. And Trump had been denied. So I say that that false narrative really annoys me, which me is too. Why I'm talking Absolutely. About it so much. So the transgender thing in the military. Now, one thing I do want to mention is it's night and day between his first administration and this administration. And one of the reasons is, in his first administration, people don't give him enough credit. They don't realize that most presidents in his situation wouldn't have survived the first term. Him to even survive that first term was quite a feat. He couldn't take on these issues. Like, yeah, some of the people are saying, well, yeah, during your first administration, they were still doing DEI initiatives. Well, yeah, if he had tried to get rid of DEI during his first initiative, his first administration, probably some Republican rhino deep staters.
They took up his time with Russia collusion, impeachment one, right. impeachment two, purposely so he could not do the things he's doing
right.
now.
And so, yeah,
You know me, how transgender people have been removed from service? 8,950 active duty, 5,727 reserve. So we're talking about a little over 14,000 men were transgender. How can you fight any wars with that many people having that psychological sickness? And they exempted them from the physical standard test.
Yes.
And they're all there because they got their surgery paid for. But guess what? They're almost all being replaced by the 8,000 military who are returning because they were banned. They refused to take the vaccination.
Yeah, the experimental vaccine, which turned out to be neither safe nor effective.
I'll take that trade. We'll take all those great guys back, and we'll let those transgender guys go. You can go do your own thing, whatever.
I don't want to be mean or harsh, but let's put it this way. In the past, if you had flat feet, they didn't let you serve in the military.
Yeah.
And people coming in, this is a fact, people coming and suffering from gender dysphoria also have a tendency to have a high number of other psychological problems and issues. Yeah. This is not a group of people.
We purposely discriminate in the military against too tall, too short, too fat, too skinny, injuries that you've had in your arms and legs, and psychological issues for all of America's history.
And even though the cost was, you know, only in the tens of millions for those folks at this point, think about if the military continues to do the cross-sex hormones, continue to do the transgender surgeries, they're on the hook for any of the long-term effects these things have. That could be billions of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The hormones, drugs, all that. So, no, it was a very bad idea. And he's taking care of that right out of the bat there. So, yes. And then he designated the Mexican cartels as a terrorist organization.
Which is huge because it opens up the military to be able to take action against them where they could not do before that designation happened.
Guantanamo Bay.
And those are people that are so violent and so deadly that Trump was afraid if he returns them to Honduras or wherever they're from, they will simply come back to the USA and do more damage. So the really bad ones are going to Guantanamo Bay.
That's brilliant. That's a brilliant use of the facility there. But one of the biggest things he did, and the thing that has the biggest long-term consequence, perhaps, is the birthright citizenship stuff. And Steve, I know that you've been looking at it a lot. So, you know what? You know, I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, this issue has been talked about by conservatives for years and years and years. In fact, decades. And people seem to think automatically because we've been so brainwashed that, if you're born in the USA, you must automatically be a citizen. No, actually, there's no evidence for that whatsoever. This phrase is from the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. Well, the key phrase here is the subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That means what country is your allegiance to? And if you are a non-citizen, an illegal alien, your children are automatically considered a citizen of the country where that illegal alien came from. You would not grant them automatic citizenship. We never did for the first 100 years. The way it was applied the first 100 years is not the way it's being applied today. This has been fabricated and made up by bureaucrats over the last 100 years. It's not the intent of the Founding Fathers or even the author of the 14th Amendment.
And nobody has had the guts to take it on until Donald Trump comes in. So this is a great topic, and we'll continue this when we get back.
Absolutely.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
I'd like to believe in Jesus, but the title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Show. Mike Friedenberg standing in as a guest host today, and with me, my longtime friend, the Honorable Steve Baldwin, former state assemblyman, and we're going to talk a little bit more about birthright citizenship.
All right. Well, this issue is really critical because about 500,000 people have come into America over the last few years alone as birthright citizens. It's kind of become a lure to attract illegal aliens. Oh, I could get my child in there. Once my child's born there, then he's a citizen, and all the rest of us come in under a chain migration program. But I was reading what Rod Martin wrote about it in his blog, my good friend Rod Martin, who's got a great blog. He said, "Ask yourself why the children of foreign ambassadors born here are not U.S. citizens." That's a good point. It's because their loyalty is to the country of their parents. So why would it be any different than an illegal alien? I mean, people need to understand that citizenship is not so much based on geography, but based on allegiance and jurisdiction. And we all need to understand that as we start debating this issue. Now, Senator Jacob Howard was the author of the 14th Amendment, and he was asked about this very issue on the floor. And he said, "This will not, of course, include persons born in the U.S., in the United States, who are foreigners, aliens, who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers accredited to the government of the United States." So even he, well, I should add this, Congressman John Beanham, who's also one of the key fathers of the 14th Amendment, said that every human being born within the jurisdiction of the United States of parents not owing allegiance to any foreign sovereignty is, in the language of the Constitution itself, a natural-born citizen. So when this amendment was introduced, it was having to do with freeing the slaves. Actually, the slaves were freed, but it was having to do with granting them citizenship.
Yep.
There weren't many illegal aliens at the time. That was not an issue. But if you were to go back and tell our founding fathers or the people who drafted the 14th Amendment that we're bringing in millions of people based upon this, they would be in shock. In fact, we've had people go back and research the history of the 14th Amendment. It was never applied the way it's being applied today for the first 100 years. This is something that internal bureaucrats at the INS or the State Department or whatever created on. We've never voted on it. No president has ever said that children of illegal aliens No one's ever had a constitutional amendment that says that. This is something solely created by liberal bureaucrats in order to bring in more illegal aliens to America, I'm assuming, to empower the Democrat Party.
Well, also, I will say this. U.S. Chamber of Commerce probably has also been supportive of it because a lot of the support comes from just depressing the wages. And let's do talk about this a bit. There's a lot of talk about illegal immigrations and the criminals and the violence, the rapists, the murderers, things like that. However, I've read study after study after study how this mass influx of illegal aliens depresses the wages of the overall, especially lower socioeconomic status. So it is negatively impacting those who are in the lower class, working class people very, very heavily. And when people say that Americans won't do these jobs, honestly, we don't know the answer to the question because the millions and millions of people that have flooded our market have created such a huge supply. It's depressed the value of the work so much that if they did work there, the dollar wage rate would be higher. The working conditions would be better, and maybe Americans would want to do the job. So we need to get a handle on the illegal immigration and get back to guest worker problems like that before we say these are jobs Americans won't do, because right now the wages are so depressed and suppressed because of this, and people want to hire them. Not only do they pay them less, but they're also, they can get away with workplace violations they wouldn't get away with, you know, for somebody that's here legally. So we have to look at that.
You mentioned guest worker program. That is a very successful program in effect today. It's been around under different names for, I don't know, 80 years, I believe. And that's when you can bring up people temporarily to pick crops, because sometimes there's a window. They have to be picked this week, and then they have to return back to Mexico. And they love it because American dollars are treated quite well in Mexico. And that is how you take care of the agricultural labor demands.
Yep.
But this whole birthright citizenship has been a ploy by the left, I believe.
Yeah, probably that's the major people.
To add more people to their power.
Yeah, I mean, more people. Now, the
heritage they shower them with welfare, Mike, all these different programs. I mean, you saw all these Catholic charities and the liberal Lutheran groups. They sign them up by the hundreds of thousands for every welfare program possible. And they make it clear that these programs are created by the Democrats so that they get their allegiance early on to the Democrat Party. That's been going on the last 4 years.
Yep. And the amount of the billions of dollars the Biden administration spent on NGOs, not only here in this country, but in South America, to literally create paths through the jungle and create way stations with watering places and places to just funnel them, flights being flown into the interior of the United States. The Biden administration was not incompetent when it came to our border. They actively worked to create open borders and go not just beyond open borders, but to literally create a sucking, to suck people in from other countries into us. They literally created that. And
what's sad, Mike, is that the people that the liberals are luring to come across this border illegally are the people who should stay in their home country and reform it. They're leaving because their countries are corrupt. But the very people who would fight for reforms are the ones who are leaving. So we are making it almost impossible for these third world countries to be reformed because the good people that would be the reformers are leaving.
Or the other aspect of it too is by reducing these, a lot of these people come in, they reduce the pressure for reform by coming, being relieved. And then a lot of them send back billions of dollars, which once again relieves the pressure for true political reform. Because right now, it's not resource issues, it's bad political systems and bad politicians that is creating the incentive for people to move here. Of course, we could solve it if we just, you know, if we open up our borders to all the people who want to come to this country. After about 700 million come in, probably people will say, oh, we don't want to go in anymore here anymore because we'll be destroyed. I mean, we cannot take, and I know there's people out there with compassion, we cannot take in enough people to really make a big difference in the world. What we can do is stay strong and very judiciously push for political reforms in the country. Be an example and help other countries politically reform.
Well, that is why Trump has put a pause on foreign aid worldwide, because he found out something that we all knew anyways, is that the State Department and USAID is pouring billions of dollars in the countries that usually attack and undermine their cultural mores and values. We have promoted transgender programs all over the third world. We have promoted programs that attack the family unit. I mean, I can't tell you, I've seen lists of millions and millions of dollars of grants going to hard left groups that are anti-family, anti-life, and offensive to these people. We must be creating so many anti-American people around the world because of what we finance in these third world countries.
No, that's true. It's like we're the anti-ambassadors.
Yeah.
Creating ill will not goodwill. No, it's awful there.
I mean, we fly the pride flag at our embassies in third world countries that do not believe in the gay agenda.
That's when I forgot, Steve. They were no longer flying the gay pride flags.
I think that got taken down by Trump.
They got taken down. In fact, basically, he just basically said, we have the basic flags. We have the American flag.
And you know, it's not that he's anti-gay. He's really not at all. He just doesn't think any flag besides the U.S. flag should represent the USA.
Now,
he wouldn't want a heterosexual flag flying from the pole either.
Well, and it's, yeah, silly.
It's a silly.
Yeah, exactly there. So the birthright citizenship will be resolved, be put in the courts. I do think that there was a congressman that introduced legislation to come behind it. And the only thing I can say about that is the legislation probably would even more than ever. I mean, our Supreme Court has had a habit of running away from tough decisions. But if we got legislation through on that, that would force the Supreme Court, no matter what, to have to rule on it. So that's what we want. We want to get a determination on this.
Absolutely. I think it will end up to Supreme Court, and we want that.
So I mentioned at the opening of the show, we would talk a little bit more about this whole awful tragedy in D.C., and we got a few minutes left. Everybody's talked about the idiocy of some of these criteria, but I do want to make some things just to make sure that we're being accurate, because I don't want to just, you know, be out there. The fact is there's 45,000 employees at the FAA. Only 15,000 of them are air traffic controllers, and I don't believe that we're hiring people that are blind and paralyzed and can't hear to be air traffic controllers. I do believe that we are pushing DEI criteria still, and that we're not getting the best people. And Trump calls them geniuses, but I will say this, you know, in researching this, you have to have an ability to multitask. And you're probably going to be a pretty bright person, but there's a lot of bright people, like myself, for example, who's, I'm not particularly a good multitasker. I like to focus on one thing, exclude everything out, and focus ass. So you need good multitaskers in there. And they had that lawsuit you talked about from Adam Laxalt, you know, the 1,000 people.
We're talking 1,000 people, and they say they actually represent about 3,000. 3,000 people who were qualified, who passed all the necessary tests, were not hired purely because of their skin color. That is wrong.
And that's wrong, and it's made our country. So what they've been doing, they've been leaving positions open, because if they fill them with qualified people, then their initiative for the DEI is
so we're seeing 19 instead of 30 required manning the Reagan National Tower. They said they need 30, and they only have 19. So you got guys in there doing the work of two traffic controllers. I can understand why accidents are happening.
I feel completely awful for that air traffic controller, because I'm sure that in these types of things, when you see the rate of near misses go up, that shows the system's flawed. And blaming an individual in a flawed system is not the way to get it reformed. I mean, no matter what, even if it's not that person's fault, it may end up not being that person's fault. It's the system's fault. That person just awfully feels devastated right now.
Yeah,
I mean, that person does. No matter what you do.
I'm sure he does,
Now, the average, the median salary for these work, the air traffic controllers, is $133,000. So there's got to be some applicants for this.
Yeah.
And we also have a huge flood of upcoming applicants, because a lot of the skills, the multitasking skills, are also developed in video gaming. And we have a generation of video gamers, you know, people that are, you know, in their 30s and 40s that literally grew up with it, that are going to be very good at this. Now, I myself, you know, you have that. These are people that did the video gaming, the real-time strategy games and things like that, where they had high neural plasticity in their brains, and it is a developed skill. So we have some talented people we can bring into this.
I would like to see Trump's DOJ get a hold of Mr. Laxalt and settle that lawsuit out of court and rehire, as part of the terms, rehire all those 3,000 people, or hire them for the first time, maybe, is the case. We're short. Let's get them hired then. We got qualified men ready to roll right there. Let's hire them. Get that lawsuit settled.
Or women. That's right. We want them. We really want them qualified. And we
want them. Everyone has the same test. Yes. I don't care if you're man, woman, whatever. You have to pass the same test to be an air traffic controller.
And then as far as the rest of the FAA, you know, there's the inspectors. Now, you really want sharp people as inspectors. They may not have the same skill set as the air traffic controllers, but you need sharp people to be able to do the inspections. I don't mind reaching out and offering some accommodation for people that are dedicated to, you know, people, somebody like lost an arm or a leg, or, you know, has overcome things, to have some accommodation. There's some balance there. But when you're talking about safety, you can't compromise on the safety issues there. That's what I will say there is, you know.
I hear that they're looking for ADD people or something like that. Well, you know, if you can't do the job, if whatever disability you have takes away from doing the job, then forget it.
But there may be some places there. So, you know, and there's administrative positions. There's less critical positions.
Maybe
there.
A guy in a wheelchair could be an air traffic controller. If that doesn't interfere with doing his job, fine. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too. I mean, exactly there. I did do some deep research on this. And, you know, they used to do the standard was called the air traffic controller SATs. And they did like 127 page validating that doing well on this test highly correlated to doing well the job. Well, they got rid of that. The Obama administration got rid of that. And what they did is they replaced it with a biographical questionnaire. And I've been trying to strain my brain. I mean, I guess.
What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean.
Hire people based on your biography?
Yes, your biography. I mean, now the only possibility, this is giving the huge benefit of the doubt, if you happen to be involved with professions that required the same skill set as air traffic controllers, and that was part of your biography, well, maybe that would help you. But in general, no, it's not. It does not help there.
It seems a little bizarre.
It seems a little bizarre. So, you know, the merit-based stuff is got to come back. The DEI stuff, Trump has taken a gigantic shot across the bow on that. It's going to take legislation to start to root it out. And it's, you know, it's going to take another four full years before we really.
Yeah, it's going to take years.
So I'll just say this.
DEI poison has increased accidents, shipping accidents, all kinds of close calls in aviation, all kinds of things going on.
Well, we saw it here.
We have to return to a system where quality is first, standards are first, merit is first, accomplishments are first. And if whatever skin color or gender you are, that comes later. But everything else has to be first.
Exactly. I mean, Trump, as I said, we've never seen anything like this. Really, as opposed to what's happening during the Biden administration, where some of the stuff he did was so awful, but he spread it out over a long period of time. It was really awful watching some of the stuff he put in place. This, as I said, I'll go back and say, he's doing the right thing, but we are not being able to fully appreciate how much he's doing because it's not, the scope and the scale of it is so vast, we just cannot.
Well, I think Trump's going to go down in history. If he is able to pull off everything he's trying to pull off right now, he's going to go down in history as maybe the greatest president ever.
So anyway, well, Steve, I just want to thank you for being here. To the Bob Siegel audience, thank you for tuning in. And also to Bob Siegel, thanks for giving me the chance to sit
thank
in
for
him.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Anyway, well, Bob Siegel will be back next week, I believe. So please do turn in then. And with that said, this is Mike Friedenberg signing out for the Bob Siegel Show.